Back to Kerry McIver.
Thank you so much, Malcolm. As we've been discussing, ACT's outlined a new employment insurance scheme as it pushes for an overhaul of the welfare system. The policy would allow a taxpayer to claim 55% of their average weekly earnings if they lost their job. It would be capped at $60,000 a year. I'm joined now by Executive Director of the New Zealand Initiative, Dr. Oliver Hardwich. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
What do you make of this idea? I mean, it is in other places around the world, but a form of employment insurance.
Well, it's understandable that people are thinking about unemployment insurance in our current circumstances, because a lot of Kiwis have recently experienced what it feels like to lose a job, which you thought was safe before. I'm not sure, though, whether this policy that ACT proposed yesterday really makes much sense, because it actually leads New Zealand towards a European-style unemployment insurance scheme. And as we have seen in many European cases, these can become quite expensive over time. They can take a lot of income from people who are still in work. And I'm not sure whether this is actually preferable to the system that we already have here. There are a few other design features about the system that I find a bit strange, actually. For example, ACT says that they would like to charge higher premiums for the scheme in years when there is higher employment. Well, that would actually make it a pro-cyclical policy. So actually, when the economy is tanking, when we're in recession, when people are unemployed, you would actually pay more for the unemployment insurance, which would probably have a pro-cyclical effect, actually pushing more people into unemployment. So I don't know whether this really makes that much sense.
But when you look at, would you rather just raise unemployment benefits overall then?
Well, I think there are other ways in which you could deal with challenging employment market situations like the one we're experiencing right now. Think about short-time work allowance schemes. That's another policy that's actually quite popular in Europe, but I think that is a policy that probably makes more sense, because it allows companies to reduce working hours in a time of an economic crisis. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, actually, you keep the employer-employee relationship alive. That means companies are flexible to reduce working hours, you know, by 10, 20, up to 90 or 100% for a time. And the government then steps in and compensates employees for some of the lost earnings. The advantage of that policy is that it would keep employees connected to their employers. So that means during the recession, of course, you would not just be laid off. You would not lose your job completely. You would still keep a link. And then when the economy picks up again, it is possible to flexibly get you back up to 100% of your normal working hours. And this is a policy that many European countries employed during the GFC.
Germany was doing that, weren't they, I think?
Germany was doing it, and in Germany it's a well-established policy. Yes. It's been around for decades. And after the GFC was over, we could see what it actually did. Germany, for example, got out of this with an employment outcome that was preferable and much better, actually, to what you found in other European countries, because they always kept their employees closer to their employers, and when the economy picked up again, they were all back at work. Other countries didn't do that, and it took a lot longer for them to actually recover their employment situation when the GFC was over. So I think policies that actually make sure that we are able to quickly upscale again are preferable to having an unemployment insurance such as the one that ACT just proposes right now.
That might work for some companies and for some industries, but when you look at tourism around the world,
yes,
would you, that's like 3-4 years away from getting back to normal. That doesn't sound like it could, that particular scheme you're referring to would work for those sorts of industries, the airline industry, the tourism industries.
No, that's right. And I don't expect tourism to rebound quickly because of everything that's going on in the world right now. So that kind of short-time work allowance scheme would not work for an industry that is in decline for the next few years. However, I'm not sure whether ACT policy would work for the tourism sector either, because, for example, they say it's limited to 26 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, we can expect the crisis to last for the next 3 to 5 years at least. So people would be covered for half a year maximum, and only, of course, if they previously worked for years in the sector. So ACT policy, of course, means that you only accumulate the benefit over time. Now, a lot of people working in tourism probably haven't done that for too long, and they may have a checkered employment history, so they might not even qualify for the full 26 weeks. So I'm not really sure whether that works. The other problem is, of course, it makes it another bureaucratic policy. So you have to check whether people are really willing to go back into the labor force or whether they say it's actually quite convenient being on 60% of my normal earnings for just a few months or weeks. I'm actually reducing my efforts to get back into the labor market.
Right.
Because that's another effect, of course, that we've seen in European countries with similar schemes.
That's right. And somebody also mentioned in Canada that they'll take skiing holidays, you know, because it benefits the employer to have fewer staff at that time of year.
Exactly. And I mean, Germany until about 15, 20 years ago had much more generous unemployment insurance policy. So you could actually keep your a part of your income for up to 2 years back then. And people realized that was just way too generous. People actually reduced their efforts to get back into the labor market. And of course, the longer you're out of paid work, the harder it is to get back into it. So for all of these reasons, I'm sitting a bit on the fence here. I'm not sure whether ACT really makes sense, even though I perfectly understand the motivation behind that policy, because people are now experiencing what it means to be unemployed through no fault of your own.
Yes, except what about the fairness aspect of it? Because for a social contract to work, people have to believe in it. They have to respect one another. They have to understand that we're all in this together. But when you are getting paid the same as somebody who has never worked, and that is your belief, after you have been working up until your mid-40s, early 50s, this is the first time you've had to call on the government for assistance, you don't believe you're the same, and I don't think you are either.
That's one way of looking at fairness, and I understand that. There's another way of looking at fairness, thinking if you're in your early 20s and you've only just worked for a couple of years, but now this crisis is happening at the time really when you didn't have a chance to build up any entitlements. Would it be fair to say, well, you're young, and just because you didn't have a chance to pay into a scheme, we now let you go with nothing? I'm not sure that's fair either. So I think you can look at fairness issues from both perspectives. I'd probably think that a system that actually pays you on the basis of need rather on the basis of how many years you've been lucky enough to be in employment might actually be fairer after all.
Sometimes it's not luck that means you've stayed in the workforce for 40 years, though.
Oh, certainly not luck. If you're in the workforce for 40 years, I think you've obviously done something right. But there are other aspects, of course. I mean, look at this crisis now. This crisis is affecting people of all ages, losing their jobs through no fault of their own. So in this case, I think it is a lot of bad luck for some people losing their jobs now at a time of their life when they didn't have a chance to build any protection, any buffer against that. So I think we have to help these people as well. And we can't just say just because you've only been in the labor market for just a few years, we basically let you fall through the net.
Is there a perfect policy? It doesn't sound like there is. There's just one that is less imperfect than others.
There is no perfect policy as such. There is no silver bullet, definitely not. The best thing we can do is to just make sure that the economy recovers from this crisis as quickly as possible. And that means we have to find a way to revive some parts of our economy that have been hardest hit by this crisis. So that means having a proper border management and actually making sure that we can, for example, get back some of the international tourism with quarantine or some of the international education with quarantine in a safe way. We should make the most of our COVID-free status. We should try to revive as much as the economy as possible, because in the long run, I think rather than having unemployment insurance policies or other social benefit policies, economic growth is our best hope of getting the better outcomes for most of people.
I thank you very, very much for your time this morning. Dr. Oliver Hartwich, the Executive Director of the New Zealand Initiative. Interesting points raised. News Talk ZB 13 to 10.